All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 10. Numbers, chapter 10. We're getting into a very busy time here at the church, and that's going to be magnified by the work that we're going to have done this summer. And so let's all stay at it and make all these things work that we do. Camp is a big program. And Pastor Dennis needs your help on that. The teens are going on a missions trip to New Mexico, and they could use some financial help there. So if you could help out, grab one of those red envelopes out there and put some money in it and help the teenagers with their trip. And Neighborhood Bible Time is just around the corner. It'll be here before we know it. The National Sword of the Lord Conference this year, Dr. Smith has cut the conference down to 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but so many people were leaving on Friday morning they needed to get home, I guess, before they didn't want to travel on Saturday. And so he has been thinking about it for a couple of years and decided to do it this year. So I think I'm preaching Tuesday night, I think, is what he told me. And so a lot of things going on. And, of course, the carnival season starts. And with carnivals in every little town in Carroll County for the next 3 months, we always need soul winners to come and help and work out. I think tomorrow, Don, you're setting up a tent at Gamber and Union Bridge. And so if anybody can help tomorrow, see Don and go and spend a couple hours leading folks to Christ. All right, I'm going to preach a strange message from a strange passage of Scripture. These verses are just different. Let me read it to you. The guy that I'm going to preach about tonight, he's got a weird name. His name is Hobab. Hobab. I've been practicing saying Hobab all week. And for some reason, I want to call him Hodad. So if I say Hodad tonight, Karen, you just translate it so the deaf. And rest of you, don't worry. I haven't changed Bible characters in the middle of the story. But look at verse 29. This is just a strange little story. And it's almost like when Moses was penning the story, he forgot to finish it. Yeah. You'll see what I mean in just a minute. Look at verse 29. All right, look at me first. Let me bring you up to date. Moses just came down off the mountain. He's just gotten the law. And of course, it took a while. It took a while for him to explain everything that God told him up on the mountain. He had to organize. And that's what the first part of the chapter is all about. The organization as they marched from Mount Sinai toward the promised land. And God didn't want them just trekking across the desert. He wanted them in order. And so he told Moses, this is the order in which you will march. This is the way you will do it. And he gave him all the instruction. Now, he had to teach the people all of that which God had shared with him. And so that's what the first part of this chapter is about. Now, in verse 28, they are leaving. there, everything's planned, everything has been explained, everybody knows their place, and they're ready to go. And then we have verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. So Moses said to Hobab, and Hobab is his brother-in-law. You got that? All right, so they're not related by blood. They're related by marriage. Okay? So Moses says to Hobab, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Now watch this. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go. Really? Hobab, you could pass that up. But that's what he said. Look at verse 30 again. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. And you know, Moses was just about as shocked as I was when I read it. Moses just couldn't believe he didn't want to go with them. And so look at verse 31. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. Now Moses is begging him here. Look, you're a Bedouin. You know this desert. You know this wilderness. Stay with us. I'm begging you. You will be better to us than our own eyeballs. You have the instinct. You know this region. You know danger. You know what's behind every rock. Don't leave us. Stay with us. You will help us if you will stay. Verse 32, and it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be. So he's not just saying it once, he's emphasizing. It shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto you. Now I'm going to stop reading right there, because that's it. Weird, huh? Question, did Hobab stay or did he go? Doesn't say. We don't know what he did. We have no idea what he did. All right, let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of taking second best. That's the angle that I want to look at Hobab tonight. Taking second best. I submit to you, and I'll prove it. You may argue with me, but I don't see how you could. Don't forget, I'm sergeant now. Drill sergeant. Don't forget that. Yes, yeah, there you go. Yes, sir, drill sergeant. But I'm going, and sit down, John, be quiet. And Hobab, I'm going to approach this from the standpoint that he did not go. And I'll tell you why I don't think he did in a minute. And why him not going was second best. Let's pray together. Our Father, how we thank you for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll help us tonight to see the point of the message. We thank you for telling us about Hobab. We would have never known anything about him except under divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is here for our learning. And now we can read his story and we can glean principles that will help us as we live for the Lord in 2015. So, Father, bless your word tonight. Fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. And then help folks as they listen. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Moses and the children of Israel are ready to leave Mount Sinai and they're ready to head towards the promised land. They got to go across the wilderness to get there. It's not going to be an easy journey. They have watched. Now think of this. They have watched the hand of God Almighty do some wonderful things to this point. They watched as the death angel came across Egypt. And their firstborn was spared when they put the blood on the doorpost and on the mantle. They watched as the hand of God, the breath of God, parted the waters of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel walked over on dry ground. They watched, think of this, folks, they watched as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night led them each and every step of the way. Now, would you just imagine that? They've seen some amazing things. And now they're leaving Sinai and they're going to the promised land. Now, some of Moses' family met up with them when they crossed the Red Sea and had been helping them negotiate from the sea to Mount Sinai. In other words, Moses' brother-in-law came and guided them and helped them get through that rough stretch over to the mountain. Moses then turns to his brother-in-law, Hobab, and he says, as they're getting ready to leave Mount Sinai and go to the promised land, he says, we're going to the place where God said that he is going to give us the land. So why don't you come with us and we will be good to you? In other words, as God meets our needs and provides for us, we will meet your needs and provide for you. You have my word on that promise. Now, there is something very unusual here. And as I turned to see what others had to say about it, that was a mistake. Just about everybody assumed that Hobab, almost did it again, Hobab took Moses up on his offer and joined the children of Israel in their great enterprise. But folks, that's not what I read in the story. If you will look at verse 30, in the first invitation, it clearly tells us that Hobab flatly refused to tag along. He said, I will not go. That's pretty clear, is it not? I will not go. That's pretty straightforward. He said, I will leave you now and return to my land and to my people. So I think that that's pretty clearly stated. But then you look at verse 31 and you see Moses a little perplexed about Hobab's reaction. And so he made a second, more pressing appeal to his brother-in-law. And basically what Moses is saying here is that with Hobab's Bedouin skills and with them being out in the wilderness, they sure could use his desert abilities. And he's basically begging him to go. And something rather strange occurs in the text. What Hobab said to the second appeal of Moses, we don't know. The Bible does not tell us what Hobab's response was to the second appeal of Moses. The story does not tell us. Did he go or did he not go? It doesn't say whether he did go along or if he did, as he said previous, and left and went back to his own land and to his own people. Now, listen carefully. I do know this. In the following chapters and in the other books of the Bible which talk about the story of the Exodus, and in the other books and of the Bible that talk about the families of the children of Israel, like First Chronicles, in those where they list the names of the people in the land, I do know that there is no record. There is not one mention of a man by the name of Hobab. There is no mention of any of his siblings. There is no mention of any of his relatives. So I assume that when he told Moses at the first question, will you go with us? And he said no, that he did not go with them. I personally think in verse 30 when he said, I will not, that he meant what he said and that he did not go any further with his brother-in-law or with the children of Israel. I think it is clear that he persisted in his original refusal. So what happened to him after this? Well, nobody knows. Nobody knows. He disappears from the human record. Would you let that sink into you? He disappears from the human record. I want us to view this rejection as Hobab choosing second best. Would it have not been better for him to choose God, Moses, and staying with the children of Israel? I mean, just imagine the miracles this man would have witnessed. But he rejected the gracious offer of his brother-in-law and went back to his land and to his people and is never heard from again in the biblical record. Now let's think tonight of Hobab's choice. There are just a couple of things I want you to see. Number one, he had every opportunity to make the right choice here. Every opportunity. If Hobab failed to have a part in this great enterprise that God was doing with the children of Israel, it was not because of the lack of opportunity on his part to be a part of it. He had the opportunity. You see, he was invited to participate. He was invited, not just by somebody passing by, but he was invited by Moses, the man that had God's ear, the leader chosen by God. And invited not once, but twice. And as a matter of fact, Moses is almost begging him to come along and be a part of this great work that God was doing. But he treated the invitation with great indifference. Hobab's indifference was not because there was any indifference found in Moses. No, Moses was excited about what God was doing. Don't forget, he had just come off the mountain with God, and he had an armload of God's word when he came down. And he was excited because the promises were made by God himself. So Moses was full of excitement about God, about what God was doing with and through and for the children of Israel. You know, I think a lot of the indifference that is seen in the world today is the direct result of the indifference that so many Christian people have today. We are indifferent to the Word of God. Indifferent to it. Jerry was telling me a while ago about talking to some congressmen this week, and when the when one congressman saw her, he thought that she was going to take the side, a different side than what she was there for. And so when she explained to him that she was there to represent the conservative side on immigration, and not just opening up the borders and let everything come across the borders that want to, and then legalize everybody that comes in, when he told this congressman that he was that she was not for open borders, he said, "Well, that surprises me, because 90% of the Christian groups have been coming to say they are for Obama's immigration plan." What is wrong with us? What is wrong with our country? What is wrong with the way people are looking at the societal issues today? I'll tell you what it is. It's indifference to the Word of God. You see, the reason our children care so little for the things that matter most is because so often we care so little for the things that matter most. But Hobab refused this invitation, not because of Moses' lack of zeal. You know, I don't understand, and I know many of you don't understand, why some folks are content with what is second best, but that's what Hobab chose. Hobab was invited. You know, he had the opportunity to make the right choice here. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. He was invited personally by Moses himself. I believe in public invitations through advertisements and flyers and the church sign and gospel tracts and handouts and you name it. I mean, I'm for all of that. I'm for every other means of promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But folks, let's not ever forget that the most compelling invitation is the one that is given personally. We know the Lord Jesus gathered all those disciples around himself, but do not lose the sight of the fact that each one of them were one, W-O-N, one by one. Don't ever forget that. They were convinced individually. I believe that we ought to do all we can to spread the message of Christ, but hands down, the best way to reach people is with one-on-one personal soul winning. And notice how intense Moses was in his invitation. Moses was so absorbed in this matter. And he probably just thought everyone else would be just as excited about it as he was. And I can't help but think that when Hobab said, "Nah, we're going to go back to our own people," I cannot help but think that Moses was shocked by that response. I dare say he didn't believe it. He probably thought, "What? Are you nuts? Look at what God is doing here. Are you going to tell me that you don't want to be involved in what God's doing here?" Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. That's the way I feel about our church. I really feel that way about our church. We're not a perfect church. I'm not perfect. And last I checked, all these guys on the platform, they're not perfect. But if you ever find the perfect church, whatever you do, don't join it because you're going to mess it up. Amen. But you know, I look at the buses running, and I look at folks getting saved, and I look at the children's ministries, and I look at the teenagers, and I hear this good choir music and not a bunch of rock and roll stuff. Folks, the gospel doesn't rock. Now, it just doesn't. And I hear the Bible being preached, and I'm like, I'm a little bit like Moses. I just can't believe that everyone in Carroll County doesn't want to be here. But I'm a little prejudiced in that area. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to see that Hobab was given an unbelievable appeal. How could he resist this appeal? It's amazing. What was the appeal? It was an appeal to a promised good. We'll be good to you. God's going to be good to us, and we're going to be good to you. Is that not the same offer that we make folks who need Christ? Hey, he forgave me, he'll forgive you. If God can save me, God can save you. And you know, our appeal today is even better than the one Moses was able to make. For if you come to Christ today, you can enter into his fellowship and our fellowship, and both he and our church will do thee good. Here you get Christian fellowship. Dale Gordon told me tonight, I said, "Dale, how are you?" He said, "Ma'am, with this church praying for me, Pastor." And I've prayed for Dale. And I know many of you have because his name's been on our prayer list. And here he is. I mean, you get brothers and sisters in Christ that will pray for you. You get Christian fellowship. You get brothers and sisters in Christ who will worship with you and encourage you. You get a place to serve the Lord through one of our ministries. You get a place where you can learn the Bible and hear preaching and teaching that will help you grow in the Lord. You get a place where you can take the Lord's table and where you can remember what Christ has done for you. Let me tell you something, folks. You get taken care of when you get saved and you come to church. But also when you trust Christ, you know what else you get? You get Christ. You get eternal life. You get a home in heaven guaranteed by God himself for all eternity. You get a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You get a high priest whom you can speak with 24 hours a day. You get the Holy Spirit who indwells your heart, and that Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth as you read the Bible. Oh, it's amazing what all you get. When you think about God's offer, it's an offer that's hard to refuse, don't you think? I mean, we offer you a satisfying Savior. We offer you a master who can meet your every need. Missionary Stanley Jones was asked one time by a Hindu scholar in India. He said, "What does Christianity offer that Hinduism doesn't?" And Jones, without even flinching, said, "Jesus Christ." Did you come in here today with a hungry heart? Well, Jesus is the bread of life. Did you come in here parched with thirst? Is your soul in the torturing grip of moral drought? Well, Christ is the water of life. Has sin tarnished your character and left you feeling unclean and filthy on the inside and on the out? Well, we offer you one who is able to save to the uttermost. He can wash you so clean with his cleansing fountain that your heart will become whiter than snow. That's a pretty good deal. He can give you peace that passes understanding. And folks, you have to wonder how anyone could possibly say no to a Savior who can do all these wonderful things for whosoever will come to him. Moses said that Hodab was to be to them instead of eyes. That's a pretty powerful statement. I don't know if I've ever heard anything like that. You can be to us instead of eyes. I was recently reading, and Stanley, when he went to Africa, gave this testimony. He went there to find David Livingston. You remember the story? And here's what he said. He said, "I went to Africa an atheist, but I came home a Christian." And the reason was because he saw Christ in David Livingston. Livingston had been to him instead of eyes. Let me make the application this way. Coming to Christ will help you understand the truth. You know, I never did swallow that evolution thing, even back when I wasn't saved. You say, "Well, why not?" Because my mother would have slapped me sideways if I did. If I'd have come home and said, "Mom, guess what I learned today? We all came from a single cell that came as a result of a Big Bang explosion." Well, there would have been an explosion at my house, I can tell you that. I never did swallow all that stuff. I remember in the eighth grade when Mrs. Morris, our science teacher, laid the textbook down and she said, "All right, turn to chapter 2. And we did, and she said, "Now notice that this says that we're going to learn about evolution." And this is public high school now, public junior high school. And Mrs. Morris kept a Bible on her desk. Yes, she did. And she prayed many a time. Many a time you would look up and see her holding a hand of a student and praying when that student was having difficulty. And Mrs. Morris looked at us and she said, "I want all of you to understand, I have to teach this because they told me I have to teach it. I don't believe it." And she held up the Bible and she said, "I believe this." God bless her heart. Do you know what? This Bible will help you understand the truth. Christ can be with you instead of eyes. Christ has a way to help you see what you should be seeing. You with me on that? And then very quickly, number 3. Number three, I want you to look at the response that Hobab gave. Man, almost made it through the whole sermon. Look at the response. You know, his response is really kind of amazing. I want you to notice he did not get angry. He did not tell Moses to mind his own business. He didn't blow his stack and try to pick a fight with Moses. He was not antagonistic in any way. Not at all. He just simply said, nah, we're going to leave and go back to our own land and our own kindred. Now, folks, listen to me. I want you to listen to this reasoning. I am not saying tonight that his choice was sinful or that there was anything shameful about it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that there was anything evil, malicious, or vile about his decision. But here is what I do see. I see that Hobab chose the second best when he could have had the best. He could have gone with Moses and the children of Israel, and he could have yoked up with God's people and been a witness to all of the amazing and wonderful things that God did to protect and to provide for his own. Would you think of this for a moment? When Moses met up with Hobab in the wilderness. Now think about this, folks. Griff, I'm moving, all right? Watch. Moses and the children of Israel crossed that Red Sea. And when they got over there, there was Hobab waiting on them. Now, 3 million people, folks. Would you just think about that? This man's a Bedouin. 50 is a huge crowd to him. And Moses has 3 million. But wait a minute, it gets better. How do you control 3 million people? Yet Moses controlled them. You say, how did he do that? Here's how it was done. When Moses met up with Hobab, and here 3 million people behind him, I'm sure that somewhere in the conversation, and I guarantee you it was early in the conversation, Hobab looked up and saw a cloud and then looked at Moses and said, what's that? And Moses said, don't worry about that. That's our God. What? That's our God. And if you think this is cool, wait till the sun goes down and that turns into a heater. Because it's cold out there in that desert at night. They had air conditioning in the daytime and they had a heater at nighttime. And it glowed like a fire. Folks, Hobab saw that and still decided to go back home. What? Are you kidding me? You would leave that to go back to live in a tent? I didn't look up the name. Hobab probably means nuts. Folks, think of this. He could have walked under the shadow of the Almighty. He could have walked under the shadow of the Almighty. So I submit to you, when he went home, He took the second best for his life. Now, my friend, here you sit tonight, and you can also walk under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't choose second best. Walk with God. Read your Bible daily. Stay in church. Stay under the sound of the preaching of God's Word. I mean, be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Come hungering and thirsting for the Word. And let God pour out His blessing and goodness upon you. He just chose second best when He could have had the best.